Good morning. You're listening to the morning worship service for Sunday the 19th of July from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our Sunday worship. We come to the one who knows all the facts about our lives. We are open books to God, who writes on every page. We approach the one who knows what we are thinking. Our thoughts, our fears, our hopes are all known by God. We worship the one who is always with us, in front of us, behind us, around us. What a wonderful God! How blessed we are! Our opening hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Let us pray. You we praise, searching God, for your presence surrounds us in every moment. You reside in our hearts. There is no cobwebbed corner that is not claimed by your love. The gate of heaven is open to us in our moments of doubt as well as our moments of faith. In our times of rest, you whisper hope to us. You awaken us, inviting us to work in your kingdom. We bring the rich variety of our gifts and our lives to share in our worship. With our ears we listen for your word. With our voices we express our praise and proclaim your truth. with all our life we worship and adore you. Lord Jesus Christ, be present with us now and in all our lives. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us and fill us with joy and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yours is the greatness, the power, and the glory, now and for ever. Father, we confess that often we are impatient. O God, we do not always understand or appreciate your ways. We want prompt results for all our efforts. We demand immediate perfection from ourselves and from others. We pray for instant judgments and quick fixes. We look for gratification now and fail to see how we will be filled in the time that is yet to come. Forgive us, O Lord, for how we ignore the testimony of the seasons you have made and try to rush the events you have planned since the beginning. Forgive us, Father, for how we forget the way of your mercy and love. Teach us anew how to wait upon you. Show us the path of patience and tenderness. Help us to see your plan for us and for those around us. Remind us, O God, of how you have given time and space to us that we may come closer to you. And forgive us for how we have judged others with a standard different than that by which we have judged ourselves. Help us, Father, to live by the Spirit rather than by the flesh, trusting in you to fulfil all your promises. In sorrow so deep we cannot find our way out, God cradles us in comfort. In moments so shadowed we trip over our fears, God lights the way for us. In joy which cascades into our souls, God fills us with healing. Even when we cannot see it, God's hope is all around us, surrounding us with peace and healing. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. Amen. And we join together in the prayer of God's Church in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Some of you will know that at St Andrew's we're hoping and planning to hold our service in the church building next week. Wellington have decided, no, not quite yet. After so many months not being able to go to church, it's really exciting that it could be possible again. Because of all the restrictions, it's taking a lot of preparation to get St Andrew's Church ready and really clean, so we are protected as much as possible. But not everyone at St Andrew's will be able to go, as some people need to be especially protected at the moment, like if you are older and not so strong, or if you are not well or have allergies or things like that. And for those who are able to go, it won't be like being back to normal. Normally, we shake hands at the door and say hello to each other. We go and talk to our friends or to visitors. Some of us hug each other. We look after the older people in wheelchairs and make sure they have someone to talk to as they can't move about. And then, when the service starts, we sing. And we sing the songs we like best really loudly. During the service, we shake hands to say the peace to each other. And at the end of the service, we have coffee or a drink together and talk together. Next week, though, in St Andrew's Church, we have to have all the restrictions you see everywhere now. We will all have to wear masks. We can't shake hands when we arrive. The chairs will be laid out so families can sit together, but we have to be separate from everyone else. No singing at all, no exchanging the peace, and no drink and chatting after the service. It's very sad. Well, in one of the Bible readings we have today, it tells us about something that happened to Jacob. Jacob and his brother Esau were Isaac's sons, and Abraham was their grandfather. They lived and worshipped God in a place called Canaan. It was Abraham who God had told his family and descendants would be really special to God. So it was still near the beginning of his family learning what God was like. So the Bible tells us that Jacob stole something very important from his brother Esau to make himself the head of the family. And when Esau realized what Jacob had done, he was so angry he threatened to kill him. So Jacob had to run away. He had probably never travelled anywhere before, and there he was, out in the desert and the mountains, all on his own, and probably rather frightened. Now, he also thought that God lived with his family in Canaan, and so he thought he wasn't even protected by God now that he'd run away, and couldn't pray to him for help. And so, when he finally stopped to sleep on the stony ground when it got dark, he must have been pretty miserable. But during the night, he had an extraordinary dream. He dreamt that he saw a long, long staircase going from the earth all the way up to heaven. And on the staircase, there were lots of angels going up and down. At the top of the staircase was God. And God said to Jacob in his dream, "I am the Lord God of your father, Isaac, and your grandfather, Abraham, and I will be with you wherever you go." And he promised it would be the same for all Jacob's sons and daughters and his descendants too. When Jacob woke up, he said, "This place is awesome," and built an altar to remember how God had been there with him. And he got the message that God is the God not just of where his family were, but of everywhere. So, do we go to church because we think that God is there in church and not in our homes, where we can still listen to this service? No, we know that God is with us everywhere. Perhaps we go to church because we think God is just that little bit more there in church than in our homes. Well, sometimes people do feel that little bit closer to God in the church. But no, it really doesn't make any difference to God where we are when we're worshipping him. He's in our homes, schools, where we work, where we play, everywhere, and we can talk to him anywhere. So, why do we go to church? Well, we go for lots of reasons. Going to church gives us that bit of time when we're not busy with lots of other things to get closer to God. Often people feel a sense of peace and closeness to God when they're in a church, probably because there's so much more to remind them about him. It gives us a time to make us stop and think about things. About being grateful for all the things God has given us, about people who are having problems and need our prayers, about the things we want God's help with for ourselves. It's also a time that helps us remember the things we've done wrong and to be able to ask God's forgiveness. And there are not many places where you can learn about Jesus and God, and the more you know, the easier it is to get to love him. One other really important thing about going to church is that worshipping God together with lots of other people who also love him and want him makes a big difference to us. It isn't easy to be a Christian on your own. We can support each other. We can talk about God together and with our minister. and it's a place where we can welcome people who want to know more about God. And so, even though we may have had phone calls with each other or Zoom to keep in touch during this lockdown time, we look forward to the time when we can all be back at church together. But in the meantime, we know, like Jacob learned, that God is with us wherever we are.
Each Sunday, a psalm is set as one of the readings. We don't usually use it. This week's psalm is Psalm 139. In a moment we shall sing a version of it. But first, a short poem by Tom Schumann. You thought for a moment, and creation sprang forth from your wisdom. And now you know my thoughts. Anger that can crush another's spirit, contempt that can drown a dream, hatred which could cripple a lover. You spoke a word, and healing walked among death's dark shadows. And now, before I can say a word, you know the loneliness stalking my nights, the sin corroding my heart, the emptiness flooding my soul. You know. And yet you reach out to grasp my hand, walking with me, so that, at last, I am finally with you. And so we sing our hymn, a version of Psalm 139. O God, you search me and you know me.
A reading from Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Jacob, son of Isaac, grandson of Abraham, is on the run, and he had good reason to run. The story of Jacob and Esau is a tale of sibling rivalry in the extreme. Esau was his dad's favourite, and Jacob his mother's. That's always a recipe for disaster. According to their mother, they had been in competition since their conception, and in the latest escapade, Rebecca helped her favourite win his father's blessing by tricking the old man. This blessing for the eldest son was very important. It could not be retracted, even if it was bestowed in error. Esau was furious. The "I'm going to kill you" kind of furious. And Jacob knew it. So, once again, with the help of his mother, on a cooked-up excuse to go wife-hunting, Jacob takes off and spends the night in the wilderness with a rock for a pillow. Jacob, who liked to hang around home, near the tents and the good food, ends up sleeping in the wilderness. Jacob is on the run, between a place where he is no longer welcome and a place where he has never been. He's guilty, defenceless and scared, and hasn't got a friend in the world. He finds himself out in the hill country north of Beersheba. Worn out and strung out, he lies down under the night sky with nothing but a stone for a pillow. That night, he has a dream. It's not a nightmare. He doesn't imagine being eaten by wild animals, or Esau the hunter, the outdoor one, catching up with him. He has a vision of a staircase reaching up into heaven, a ladder upon which angels ascended and descended. And then God comes to him. God comes to him who was tired and fearful, to him who was alone and thought he was loved by no one but his mother. And God restates the promise he has made to Abraham and then Isaac, a promise renewed for both of them when its fulfilment seemed further away than ever. Now he makes that promise to Jacob, that it will be his descendants that fill the land and are blessed. Him, not Esau. Him, the one fleeing for his life with nothing. Him, the as yet unmarried one, not the one already married. Just as we have seen with his father and his grandfather, the promise is renewed when it seems to be at its most vulnerable. And how does Jacob respond? Actually, he doesn't dwell on the marvellous vision, and neither does he initially seize upon the renewed promise. The good news of Jacob's story is not simply that there are links to heaven. The good news is not that God sometimes comes to us. The good news is not that heaven and earth are somehow connected. The good news is not that Jacob was a special person despite his tricky ways. Nor is the good news simply that we see God keeping and renewing his promise to Abraham and to Isaac to create a people and to bless them to be a blessing. No, the good news is all but hidden in that single sentence. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Can we grasp this? Do we have ears to hear? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. There are places we go, and events that we share in, where we are not surprised to become aware of the presence of God. Large worship gatherings. Places of stunning beauty. Intimate places that hold poignant memories for us. Holy buildings steeped in majesty. And perhaps, not surprisingly, our own familiar church building. But as much as we appreciate beautiful buildings set aside to the glory of God, do not let us ever imagine that only these are the houses of God. During these past months, we have not been able to go to the house of God. But we have gathered in our homes, in our houses, flats or gardens, and there together worshipped God. and many of us have there experienced the presence of God. Our homes have literally been the house of God. As Jacob discovered, and we have been reminded, God's presence is not limited to particular places. And if God is God of all the earth, then perhaps we should expect to find him anywhere. But then maybe it wasn't so much where God found Jacob, but how he found him. Not where he was, but how he was. Remember, Jacob is on the run between a place where he is no longer welcome and a place where he has never been. He's guilty, defenseless, and scared, and he hasn't got a friend in the world. Worn out and strung out, he lies down in the wilderness under the night sky. I don't think he is thinking about God. I imagine he is wrapped up in his own worries, fears, and regrets. Up until this point, the two sons of Isaac are portrayed in quite secular terms. Unlike Abraham, who frequently prayed and worshipped, and even Isaac, who knew when to call upon God, Esau and Jacob have shown little sense of the role of God in their families' lives. Until this point, Jacob's motivation, sly fox that he is basically greed. As Jacob discovered, the presence of God is to be experienced in unexpected places and times. For him, it was when he was at his lowest, a long way from home, uncertain of the future. For us, it may have been in that hospital ward when the nurse held our hand, or in the coffee shop when our friend wiped away our tears, or in the canteen at work where someone just listened, or in our living room when we are low from not having seen our family for weeks, when we have not gathered for months with the people we have spent Sunday with so often over the years, when our favourite restaurant or pub is still out of reach, when, well, you complete the sentence. And there, here, God is. Not limited to a particular place, nor bound by our expectations. After a bad start to his life, Jacob was found by God and given a new start. Jacob, who had been a cheat, went on to become one of the great legends of the Jewish people. Which brings us to our reading from Matthew's Gospel, the second of three parables about the sowing of seed. We heard the first last week. This one concerns an enemy who sowed weed seed in a good crop, where it sprouted among the wheat. The workers asked to be allowed to go and pull out the weeds. The owner said, "No, you will root up some good wheat as well. Leave it until harvest. Then the wheat can be saved and the weeds stacked up and burned." In life, when we see weeds, things that we think aren't right, people that we believe are in error or offensive, we want to rush in and get rid of them. This happens in the church too. We can get self-righteous. Clean up the church. Get rid of the heretics and sinners. Rip them out. Sometimes we may not even get it right. We may not be able to pick the difference between good growth and bad growth, but we think we do. Jacob seemed like a weed, a disgrace to his grandparents Sarah and Abraham. Wouldn't it have been better for God to let the young rogue just disappear on the flight from Esau? But that's not how God sees it. He is in the business of second chances, and third, and fourth, and the opportunity to make a new start. Jacob has his dream at Bethel, receives the promise of God's presence with him, and he makes his promise to God. The parable of Jesus tells us to wait until the harvest. Then what is wheat and what is weed will be clearly seen. The owner will know the right time. He knows what is truly wheat and what is truly weed. Only then can the weeds be destroyed. Our Gospel reading today, the reading about the parable of the wheat and the weeds, is very important for us. It is important not because it prophesies the ultimate destruction of evildoers, not because it teaches us that the blights on our lives and the weeds that suck up the nutrition of better plants are afflictions that come from an evil one. No, its importance for us is that it counsels patience. Patience in the face of situations that seem bad to us. Patience in the face of seemingly evil attacks. Patience in the midst of our urge to go and fix things and make them right. Patience in the face of our desire to make judgments about others and to act on those judgments. We do not know what is going to come next, nor can we pin down just where God is and what he is about. In fact, we can't even be sure that the weeds about us will remain weeds and that the wheat will remain wheat. Moses, a murderer. David, an adulterer. Paul, a religious vigilante. Peter, a hypocrite and a coward. Who would think that God would work with them? That God would be present with them? That God would love them? That God would do great things through them? I wonder what judgments we make about others and about ourselves. Master, say the servants in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Master, do you want us to go out and gather the weeds for burning? Do you want us to pluck out the evil sown by your enemy to try and separate the roots, to destroy that which is doing harm? No, says the master. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Wait till harvest time. Wait till the reapers go forth. Wait. Where is God? What is he doing? We do not know what is going to come next, nor can we pin down just where God is and what he is about. But we can be sure of one thing, and that is, God will surprise us. God will surprise us by embracing us when we feel dirty and unclean. God will surprise us by turning the biggest struggles into sources of strength and healing. God will surprise us by taking the outsider and lonely and making them into leaders. God will surprise us by using the trickster and greedy to inspire and model devotion. And ultimately, he will surprise us by changing a time of death into the gateway to a glorious life. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This could be a cry of despair, coming as it does from Jacob's unworthy lips. It could be the kind of cry we have all uttered when we have done one thing when we ought to have done another. It could be a cry of despair and a moment of longing for that which is past. But it is not. For Jacob, that cry signals a moment of awakening, a time of opening his eyes and truly seeing, a time of opening his ears and truly listening, a time of coming from the night of uncertainty into the daylight of hope. For Jacob, that cry signals a moment of discovering that, yes, God is here, here even when we do not know it. Here, even when we think that God cannot, should not, will not be here. And here, even when we are not looking for God to be here. And in discovering that God is here, It is for Jacob a moment in which he understands that God is here to bless and to heal, that God is here to comfort and to guide, that God is here to change and to transform, that God is here to help and to reassure. And Jacob woke from his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And yes, Jacob was afraid, afraid not because he had made some mistake, but afraid because he realized just how holy was the place he was in. And as he looked in that fear upon the sand and rock and the dry plants of that place, he said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob took the stone upon which he had laid his head while he slept, and he made it a kind of memorial, a kind of altar. And he poured oil upon that stone upon which he had had his vision, and he named the place in which he had slept Bethel, the house of God. How awesome indeed is the place of God, the place in which the weeds are allowed to grow up with the wheat, the place in which all we have for pillows are stones, the place in which we fear and long for comfort and think we have none, the place in which the lost are found and the blind given sight. We do not know what is going to come next, nor can we pin down just where God is and what he is about. But if we wait, if we let God do whatever it is God does, if we let God move in his mysterious way his wonders to perform, we will find ourselves surprised in the most wonderful of ways. We will discover that where we are, wherever we are, is the house of God, and that next to us is the gate of heaven. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn: God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform.
Thank you.
now our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Eternal God, you were with us yesterday and today, and will be with us tomorrow. As our Father and Mother, you watch over us. We give you thanks for your tender mercy, loving us no matter what. We give you thanks for those in leadership roles who continue to work hard to maintain our community, our health, and our economy. We pray for them to have wisdom and compassion. We pray for all people to act in ways which keep our communities safe and to be able to discern fake news from the facts. Bless all those in positions of leadership, both in the public and private sectors, who have had to take decisions affecting the lives of others. Bless all those workers who have had to play their part when asked, or be furloughed or made redundant. We pray for resilience while so many people have had to rethink the ways they can earn a living and seek new job opportunities. We pray for all those in education who are beginning their summer holidays in these strange times. May people find ways to restore the rhythms of life, making the summer months a time to gradually get out and about more and to socialise in safe ways, so that when the new school year begins, anxieties will have reduced and they will be confident and ready to rejoin their school and college communities. Now, let us hear words from Psalm 13 as we continue our prayers.
How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?
We pray for those who feel forgotten and unseen. May they know that they are remembered and seen by you, God. Help us to partner with you to remember the forgotten. Search our hearts to reveal those we hide our faces from, the outcast, the stranger, or the homeless. Change our hearts that we may turn our faces towards these people and see them as your beloved children.
How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?
We pray for those we know who struggle with mental illnesses, anxiety and depression. We pray that there will be resources released to help enough staff employed and finances given towards mental health services nationally. Help us to be a friend and a listening ear to those who suffer. Fill us with compassion and wisdom. Ultimately, we pray for those who wrestle with sorrow, that they may know your victory over those dark thoughts which currently seem to triumph.
Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall.
We pray for those who might be considered fallen by those around them. May they know your restoration and grace. Help us not to judge or exclude your beloved children, but instead lift them up in prayer and embrace them with the grace we know in Christ. Thank you, loving Father God, for hearing our prayer. We proclaim together, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Amen.
Our final hymn, one that speaks of God's presence with us throughout the day and throughout all our activities in life. Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy.
Lord, 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 L
as God's people, greeting everyone as one of the family. Go as followers of Jesus, serving everyone you meet, especially those who have been thrown aside by the world. Go with the gifts of the Spirit in you, and be that hope which everyone longs to see. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.